Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 28. Wherein consisteth the exaltation of Christ, or Christ's exaltation? Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day, ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and in coming to judge the world at the last day. When we consider the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Catechism ends with the idea that Christ was under the power of death for a time. Answer 27 of the Shorter Catechism, that Christ was under the power of death for a time. This meant that our Lord Jesus Christ was in the tomb, that his body was buried, and at death his soul or his spirit went immediately into the presence of God the Father. Then, on the third day, he was raised again from the dead. Praise be unto God. The proof text in the Catechism is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Of course, the prediction was that our Lord Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead. And he did so on the third day. That is, his soul and body were reunited, and he was brought forth from the grave. He was seen by his disciples, and he was seen by doubting Thomas in the upper room after he had said to the rest of the disciples, "Unless I am able to put my hand in his side where the wound is, and put my fingers into the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe." And a week after the resurrection, Jesus Christ appeared once again to his disciples in the upper room, Thomas being present. And when Thomas saw Jesus Christ, he fell down and said, "My Lord and my God." And then the Apostle Paul tells us that the risen Lord Jesus Christ was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time. And Paul adds this little caveat, "some of whom have fallen asleep." As he writes to the Corinthians, some of those who had seen Jesus Christ had died, but others had not. And the implication is that Paul is saying to those who are reading his letter, go ahead, talk to those individuals who saw Jesus Christ. Interview the eyewitnesses, and you will believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Years ago, I heard this little illustration that had to do with the resurrection. A pastor of a local congregation was preaching on Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, on resurrection morning, and he had a daisy in his hand, and while he was preaching, he would pluck a petal off of the daisy and put it in his mouth and chew it up and swallow it. And he would continue that, taking petals off of the daisy and putting them in his mouth and swallowing the petals of the daisy. And then he said to the congregation, after he had eaten all of the petals of the daisy, the congregation looking at him with some wonder and amazement, "You go out now and say to people on the street, guess what my pastor did today? And the people on the street will say, well, I don't know, tell us. And you say to them, well, he ate a daisy while he was preaching to us the sermon this morning. And the people on the street will say, oh, go on, that didn't happen. But then if one by one you say to this individual, yes, the preacher did eat a daisy this morning while he was preaching, and all 500 of you go out into the street and declare to individuals who are passing by that I did indeed eat a daisy, what do you suppose their reaction would be? Well, I would never have believed it, but since all 500 of you tell us that this is the case, and you are all eyewitnesses, I must believe that your pastor, crazy as it may sound, ate a daisy while he was preaching this morning. You see, this is the point, that there were eyewitnesses, 500 eyewitnesses, over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, because of the testimony of these eyewitnesses, you are compelled to believe what is written in Scripture about this resurrection. And then Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. 40 days later, after having been seen by many, Jesus Christ was then seen by his disciples bodily ascending into heaven. They viewed this themselves, and they give testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven in the Bible. And so once again, you and I must believe the eyewitnesses to these events. If you see someone being killed and you are an eyewitness to this fact, and there are others who stand with you as eyewitnesses to this fact, when you present your eyewitness accounts to the jury, the prosecutor will say to you in the jury, believe the eyewitnesses. This is their testimony. And so I say the same to you. Believe the eyewitnesses concerning the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ and his wonderful ascension into heaven. And where did Jesus Christ go when he entered into heaven? He sat down at the right hand of his Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. One of the wonderful texts that I continue to ponder in this regard is in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Listen to these particular texts. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not made of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Christ, by his ascending into heaven, by his being raised again, and by his ascending into heaven, procured for us eternal redemption. And where did he go? He went into the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Think of it, my friends. Having passed through the heavens, our Lord Jesus Christ entered into the true tabernacle and sat down on the throne of the Majesty on high. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that this true tabernacle is not of this creation. It is not part of this created order. It is somehow above and outside and beyond this created order. In other words, Jesus Christ sat on the throne of the Majesty on high, which is far above all principalities and powers and all things that are created. Jesus Christ sat at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority and power, and he is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what else does the Catechism tell us? Having risen from the dead and having ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God the Father, he will come again to judge the world. The text given to us in the Catechism is this: he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. God will judge the world through Jesus Christ, who is the King of all. Some of you who are watching this video lesson will remember that yesterday, as I'm making this recording, there was a terrible shooting in San Bernardino, California. And the New York Daily News mocks individuals who said in response to this terrible shooting in San Bernardino, pray for those who are the victims and pray for those who have lost loved ones. And the New York Daily News, dated December 3rd, 2015, points specifically to Ted Cruz, "Our prayers are with the victims." And Rand Paul, "My thoughts and prayers are with the victims and families and brave first responders." And Lindsey Graham, "Thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families." And with Paul Ryan, "Please keep the victims of California in your prayers." And the sub-headline is this: "At latest, as the latest batch of innocent Americans are left lying in pools of blood, cowards who could truly end gun scourge continue to hide behind meaningless platitudes." And the headline, the major headline of the New York Daily News is, "God isn't fixing this." Mocking God and mocking those who are calling for prayer. Mocking believers and mocking God himself. This is the point to which publications in our country have come. But the Catechism reminds us that Jesus Christ will come in the last day, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and He will judge the world. The great hope of the Christian is the resurrection, and the great vindication of God, and the great vindication of Christians is the judgment of all those who are unbelievers. Let unbelievers mock. Let them say boldly, "I don't believe in your God, and I'd just as soon go to hell and be there with my friends." No, dear ones, there are no friends in hell. All of those individuals who have been judged by God and reside in that awful place have an infinite anger toward one another and raise their fists in anger against the great God of glory, because He will judge the world through a man whom He has raised from the dead, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in the great salvation that He gives to you by His great work on the cross in paying the penalty due to you for your sins. And then, being under the power of death only for a time, and rising again from the dead, ascending up into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, in the position of great power and authority, and promising you and me that He will indeed come again to judge the world. Thanks for listening.